Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text today is the psalm that we read responsively earlier in the service, Psalm 91. I'll reread verses 1 and 2. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. This is our text. I'd like to begin with a very brief family story. It happened a couple of years ago. During the day, there was a 3-year-old boy who didn't have his usual bounce. He was quiet. He was lethargic. And that night he started coughing, a violent barking cough, followed by those gasps for breath. Croup. You can imagine what it was like for that child. He knew something was wrong. His eyes filled with panic. You know how it is. How quickly life goes from smooth and carefree to troubled and fearful. But then in an instant, his father was there. His earthly father didn't have all the answers, but what he did have were strong arms, the keys to drive his son to the hospital, and most importantly, a prayer to the Heavenly Father. That father wanted his son to know what he knew, that our Heavenly Father has us in his care. Our Heavenly Father has us in his care. Our Heavenly Father cares for us because of his Son, Jesus Christ. I'm going to take you back to the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Early on, he faced the challenge of learning to trust his Father's care. Jesus faced that challenge. No sooner had he been baptized and heard the Father's declaration, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," then he found himself out in the wilderness. You know what happened there, being tempted by the devil. Immediately baptized and then tempted, and those first two temptations both begin with a big if. If you are the Son of God, command these stones. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. As if the devil was saying, don't wait for the Father. You can't really take him at his word. Take care of yourself first. Make him prove it to you. Are you sure? Are you absolutely sure that he's got you? That he'll provide for you? That he'll be there for you? Those questions may sound familiar because the devil likes to use them with us as well. And you might remember that the devil even threw some scripture at Jesus. Psalm 91, in fact. After all that psalm says of the Father, he will command his angels concerning you. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. So go ahead and throw yourself down if you are the Son of God. But Jesus didn't fall for it. Jesus knew that the Heavenly Father had him in his care. He knew that the Heavenly Father always had him in his care. And so he won up the devil with Scripture. Can you imagine that? Knowing Scripture even better than your opponent, so well that you can wield it against him. And Jesus said, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And he didn't. Jesus didn't test the Father. He did trust the Father. Not just a couple of times there in the wilderness, but all the way through, from his baptism to the cross to the grave. Of course, it wasn't easy. You know it's not easy for you. It certainly wasn't easy for him. If everything were sunshine and lollipops, we probably wouldn't even think twice about the father's care. I mean, a child who is really secure and cared for by the parent isn't really sitting there thinking about how much the father cares for him or her. They're just living life and enjoying it. If we had everything we needed, if we never had any troubles, we'd just take it for granted and we'd go on our merry way. But Jesus didn't have that ability. He couldn't do that. His calling didn't take him away from trouble, but it took him directly toward trouble. Although he was a son, the writer to the Hebrews tells us, he learned obedience through what he suffered. He learned obedience through what he suffered. Do you remember the Garden of Gethsemane? Not once, not twice, but three times he prayed, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." Do you remember the cross? It was nearly 3 in the afternoon after a long day of agony when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And then that cry of dereliction resolved into the prayer of trust as he breathed his last. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Jesus trusted the care of his heavenly Father, so that after he carried the sins of the world, after he suffered the wrath of God, after he entered into death itself, God the Father raised him from the dead. So Jesus, having reconciled us to the Father, having risen from the dead, brings us into his family. You have been baptized into the family of Jesus Christ, for you were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. His heavenly Father is now our Father in heaven, and he calls us brothers and sisters, saying, "I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Which means that the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one to whom he trusted himself, is our heavenly Father as well. And as he cared for Jesus, he cares for us too. Our heavenly Father's care helps us endure the troubles of this life. What temptations do you face? I mean, not in the past, not temptations you could face, but what temptations do you really face? What troubles do you have today? What burdens do you carry? Psalm 91 describes so many things that threaten: the snare of the fowler and the deadly pestilence, the terror of the night and the arrow that flies by day, the pestilence that stalks in darkness and the destruction that wastes at noonday, the 1,000 that fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, evil, plague, feet striking against stone, lion, adder, young lion, and serpent. And if you just look at the enemies and troubles that Psalm 91 describes, your imagination could run wild with all of that. And then with all of the equivalent troubles in this world today, in our age. Our lives aren't smooth. Our lives aren't carefree. At least not often and not for long. If your life doesn't have any trouble right now, thank God for that and rejoice in it. But our lives often are troubled and fearful. We have broken relationships and illnesses and financial hardships and the pall that hangs over all of it, death. So we pray, "Deliver us from evil." In that little prayer, in those few words that we hurry so quickly past as part of a bigger prayer, what are we really asking of God the Father? What are we asking him to do? First, we acknowledge the devil as our enemy. Deliver us from evil. We are saying that we have an enemy and that the devil is the evil one. All his works and all his ways are bent on snaring and destroying us. Deliver us from evil. Second, we're confessing that we cannot deliver ourselves. Prayer itself is always such a confession. To pray is to say, I can't do it on my own. If we're to survive, we need the care of another. Deliver us from evil. Third, we're asking our Heavenly Father to help us endure the troubles that come and to keep us faithful unto death. And when we end the Lord's Prayer with that little word, amen, it is reminding us that our Father wants us to pray, that he has promised to hear our prayers through his Son, Jesus Christ. So yes, we face dangers. Yes, we face troubles. We acknowledge that in Psalm 91. We confess that when we pray, deliver us from evil. But even more than the dangers we face, Psalm 91 is loaded with beautiful promises. Beautiful promises about the Father's wonderful care, protection, and deliverance. Just listen to some of them. It says, he will deliver you. He will cover you. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear. It will not come near you. No evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague come near your tent. He will command his angels concerning you. Isn't that a beautiful one? We think of these angels as mighty messengers doing God's will. And what is God's will? To command them to take care of you. And perhaps most beautiful and strengthening of all, because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. If you ever need to be reminded that the Father will care for you, just open up to Psalm 91 and look at all of those promises that he has made to you in Jesus Christ. Our Heavenly Father is there for us as we go through our troubles. He will be our shelter, our refuge, and our fortress. He will protect us in his strong arms. And he loves us more than any earthly father, even the best earthly father. And his care for us will never fail. In giving us his Son, he has even made a way for us through death itself. And finally, our Heavenly Father's care reaches us through other people, including our earthly fathers. If your father is gone, no longer living, but he cared for you in this earthly life, you can thank God for him. So not only does God, the Father, care for us, but he often cares for us through the other people that he puts in our lives. Just as that boy at the beginning in the story at the beginning, received the Heavenly Father's care through his earthly father, so we benefit from the help, support, and care not only of our fathers, but of our fathers and our mothers and other authorities. In the Large Catechism, Martin Luther wrote this about the fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother. He said, God knows very well this perverseness of the world. Therefore, he admonishes and urges by commandments that everyone consider what his parents have done for him. Each child will discover that he has from them a body and life. He has been fed and reared when otherwise he would have perished 100 times in his own filth. Therefore, this is a true and good saying of old and wise people, to God, to parents, and to teachers. We can never offer enough thanks and compensation. The person who thinks about and considers this will give all honor to his parents without force and bear them up on his hands as those through whom God has done him all good. There are, of course, those whose earthly fathers haven't been what God intended them to be. Jesus speaks of this reality when he says, "Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death." Of course, this isn't what God intends for the relationships of fathers with children or of children with fathers. This fallen world and our own sin often cause problems in our relationships. But even then, we're invited to look beyond this broken world. We're invited to look not simply at our earthly fathers, but to the true Father and his faithful care. Earthly fathers aren't the Heavenly Father, but the Heavenly Father is the type and pattern for all fatherhood. So those of you who are fathers, let this be your prayer, that the Heavenly Father would cover your sin, conform you more and more to the pattern of his fatherhood, and through you, bring his care to your own family and to others. Truly, our Heavenly Father has all of us in his care, fathers and children, men and women, old and young. He cares for us because of his Son, Jesus Christ. His care helps us endure the troubles of this life, and his care reaches us, even though imperfectly, through others. As the psalmist has said, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust." In Jesus' name.
Amen.